perfected. And you know, the fruits of the Spirit, they basically represent who God is, and God wants us to be more like Him. That's who God is. Because we all know that God's been very long-suffering with us. Amen? Very patient with us. We make mistakes. We put Him second in our lives, sometimes third. And He continues to bring us back because He loves us. And He loves us. So He wants to bring us back to Him, and that's who God is, and He wants us to be like Him. You know, God cares for all humanity, even your enemies. He cares for them. And He does it with a tremendous passion and compassion and mercy and long-suffering. God's people are in training. Each and every one of you are in training to become kings and priests to rule with Him in the future. In the book of Revelations, it talks about this. So think about that. Right now, we're in training how we respond to the Spirit of God, how we let God change us and let the fruits of the Spirit become our character. We're in training right now to rule and reign in His kingdom with Him. It kind of makes sense when you look at it that way. Why do we go through the trials we go through? Why do we go through stuff we go through? Because God is perfecting us through those trials to trust Him and to come out stronger, so that by the time we rule in His kingdom, you're ready. You're surrendered. You're His. You know who He is. You're not going to have to go to Jesus and say, "How do you want me to rule this way?" It's actually, it's who we are. It's who we become. And we're on that journey. And part of this journey of becoming kings and priests to rule with Him in the future involves learning and forgiving others and showing mercy and forbearing others. So that is kind of a bigger picture of what God's doing. Why does He want us to produce fruit? Why does He want us? Because it's about His kingdom. It's a personal relationship with God that impacts in a kingdom way to other people. You impact other people. So keeping all this in mind, it is important that people who are good ground hearts, and we talked about last week, if you didn't get to hear the sermon last week, you can always hear it online on our website. But it was talking about being good ground heart. It is important that people who are good ground hearts receive the Word of God and they keep it, like that parable says. The Word of God represents the seed. And in good ground hearts, they take the seed, they keep it. And then it produces fruit. We must allow God's Word to transform us from the inside out. Study God's Word. Just, you know, when you read God's Word, expect to be changed. Expect it to poke at you. Expect God's Word to reveal stuff in your life that needs to be changed. That's a heart. When somebody starts reading the Word thinking, "Wow, God's still changing me." Because we all know that nobody is perfect. And once you get to that point where, "Oh, I've changed enough. I'm already good." Then that's pride comes before the fall, right? That's when we're in trouble. So expect, when you read God's Word, expect it to transform you continuously. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, and He will bring us to righteousness. It will bring us to righteousness as we continue to read God's Word. To illustrate the importance of reading God's Word, before I get there, you know, when we study God's Word, we need to study it with, you know, have you ever seen a video gamer that gets a new game and then they learn like everything about that game and where the tunnels are, or, and then there's different ways, and then they finally, "I conquered the game. I finished. I got all the possibilities. Got the highest score," whatever it is. You know, you hear young people talk like that. I personally don't play games. I only know how to play Pac-Man. So that's about all. I even have it on my phone now. Whenever I'm on airport traveling, I just have something to do. But they really get into it. Well, think about it this way. When we're passionate about God's Word, we want to figure everything out about God's Word, about what it means, what is God trying to teach us, how is He trying to change me. That's how we should read God's Word. And we just saw the Olympics on TV. Anybody see that? the gymnastics is just kind of, how do they do that with their body? I just don't understand. How do they land on a 4-inch bar and they flip? I mean, it's just crazy. But, well, you know what I heard? I heard many of the interviews afterwards, and a lot of them said this, oh, now I can go to the movies. You know that they literally shut themselves in a room weeks. They got up at 5 in the morning. They trained. They ate. They didn't eat much. They ate healthy stuff. And I even heard one of them say, I'm going to go eat cake and spaghetti and whatever. They have a diet. They are training max for years. And when they finally got a gold medal or some medal or something, they're like, oh, I'm going to go out with my friends. Wow. That's pretty committed. You know, God's looking for people that have that commitment. That no matter what, Lord, I'm in it. I've considered the cost. I love you, Lord. And this morning, as you responded to just saying, Lord, tear down every wall. Lord, I want to be with you. That's the commitment that God's looking for in people. Amen. And that's exciting because we can do so much in unity. So keep all this in mind. Be vulnerable. Keep your heart open. And I want to go now into a teaching today. After setting that as an introduction, be vulnerable. Let your heart be changed. Don't throw the message to your neighbor. Look at down deep in your heart, and that's what God's word does. It's a two-edged sword, cutting ligaments. And the Bible says that it reveals things in our hearts. So with that mindset, I want to talk about this concept. To judge or not to judge. And how important it is when we read God's scripture, not just to take one scripture and then make a whole thing out of that one passage that you read. It's important that we always keep God's character in mind and hit the intent of who He is. Because when you really read it all together, it really does all make sense, even though we don't understand everything yet. When you get to heaven and God reveals who He is, it will just be, got it. All those questions I had now, they just make sense. He's a just God. That's all we need to know. He's a good God. He's a righteous God. A God of justice. But let me give you an example. This is one, Pastor Green, and I've said this many times and you'll hear it again, but this is a beautiful illustration of how you don't read the Bible. You don't read the Bible and open it up and say, Lord, whatever you show me today, I'm going to do, open it up. And it says, and Judas hanged himself. All right? There's a scripture that says that. And he said, oh, I don't like that one. So he turned over here and it said, go ye and do likewise. Okay, that's not how you read the scripture, right? Just one thought comes into your mind and one scripture. And that's my whole future is going to be based on that decision I just read. That's not how we read scripture. We need to know God's character. We need to know who He is. So using that illustration, I want to read this judge or not to judge concept as a teaching this morning. And I believe what God is doing is getting us ready, because we need to know how to love people and care for people, because that's what Jesus did. And this judge or judge not is part of that. So it's part of the love. So I want to, as we've been studying the fruits, it kind of wrapped up in that. And I believe that God is preparing this church to be a church of compassion and love that cares for people without any conditions, without anything, expecting nothing in return, just caring because Jesus cares. Like we did with the outreach, just going and loving people just because God cares. And that's what I believe God's preparing us to do. So it's important that we understand what God is talking about here in this scripture. So let's study this. To illustrate the importance of reading God's words in context, today we're going to study a well-known passage. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Are you ready to hear this with a vulnerable heart? Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And I encourage you to write a thought down. Take a thought with you. Go home and pray about it. Something that means something to you. Because I believe God's checking. It wants to know who's willing to be transformed. So here, Luke chapter 6, verse 37. One scripture that says this. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Very clear scripture, right? I think the context is there. Don't judge not, and you will not be judged. Well, let's read Matthew 7, verse 1, if you'll turn to Matthew 7, verse 1. Kind of goes along the same lines. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that ye not be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thine mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in my own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? So don't judge people. In this one goes a step further. It says don't judge people, and it says don't judge people, and it also goes on to say if you start judging people, God will judge you the same way, the same kind of measure, the same kind of mercy that you have in your judgment. God will have that mercy with you. I mean, we don't want that, do we? And then, so here we get the idea that be very careful when you judge people. In general, that's the idea that we get. So should we, is there any time that we, well, let's read the next scripture in John chapter 7, verse 24, if you turn there. John chapter 7, verse 24. Keep your heart vulnerable. Let God change us from the inside out, and just let the Spirit of God check you, your heart. You know, people of substance, they're not afraid to analyze their own heart and compare it to God's Word. Verse 24 of John chapter 7 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So here we have a scripture that says, don't judge with what you see with your eyes. You ever heard the phrase, don't judge a book by its cover? You know, that's true. Don't judge by appearance, but righteous judgment. Now we get it. So now we have to step back a little bit and study what can we judge and what can we not judge. Because it is evident as I keep reading more and more scriptures that it's not straightforward, don't ever judge. Because actually it says, judge righteous judgment. So now you start getting a better context of this concept of judging. It doesn't say don't ever judge. You know, but there's people who like, I've heard this before, where people who are struggling with something in their life and somebody points that out and they'll say, don't judge me. The Bible says don't judge me. Well, no, not exactly. The Bible says, what? Because it says here to judge righteous judgment. So there is time to judge. Amen? And so let's read on what that times, what those times can be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 13, let's read that. So if you were one that always thought that the Bible protected you and you could never be judged, then you're about to get your socks knocked off. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and there seems to be a problem in the church. There's a problem in the church, and the problem in the church, we're going to read it, is fornication. And we know the definition of fornication is a sexual relationship outside of marriage, right? And there was a problem in the church. And here's what happened. Not only was it a problem in the church, they were not dealing with it, and they were even, to some extent, glorifying it. That's bad, right? In the church. And so here Paul is writing a letter. It says, it is reported to me commonly that there is fornication among you. You think Paul is going to say, but the Bible says for me not to judge you. So I'm going to go ahead and step back here. No, that's not what Paul did. He says, among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among you the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. It was pretty bad. And ye are puffed up, meaning that you're not even, you're like prideful about it. And have not rather mourned that ye that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. So Paul is making it very clear that this is a problem, and not only is it a problem because of the act itself, it is also a problem because you're puffed up about it. You're prideful about it. And for verse 3, for verily as absent in body, though I'm not here with you, Paul is saying, but present with you in spirit, have judged already. Paul's judged it as though I were present concerning him that has done so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This is serious. He's saying that this is not of God. And this one needs to be taken care of in the church. Because when you let a little cancer in the church like that, let them be puffed up and grow, it can destroy the church. So he says, to deliver such a one. Verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaveneth a little bit? The whole lump. Leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be in new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, near with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he's basically saying we need to make sure to protect the church and cut this off. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. He says, I remember I sent you a letter about this. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one do not eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. Basically he's saying, look, the world and the idolatry and all the drunkenness and fornication, all that, the world, I don't judge that. That's outside. That's of the world. But that which is inside the church, we judge. And Paul wanted to make sure to protect the name of Jesus. That's what it comes down to. So there was a time to judge. So see, when I say be careful when you just read one scripture, how important it is to really get the breath of what God's character is, of what he's trying to do. What is God trying to do? Protect the church. Protect the name of Jesus. So when we go back to the scriptures, judge not. You know, I started looking at that, what it means to me. What should we judge? The title of the sermon is to judge or not to judge. In this scripture, we see that in the church, there was sin. And the scripture makes it clear to judge actions of sin in the church. So clear sinful actions in the church, we can judge. For example, if you know somebody who's a born-again Christian and they're struggling with sin and they're, you know, whatever it may be, and it's obvious, it's not an opinion. How many of you know that a sinful act is not an opinion? Many times we try to judge people that they're sinning because of our opinion. For example, somebody gave me bad attitude. They sinned against me. That's just your opinion. Amen? And you see this a lot with leaders and pastors. Oh, he didn't shake my hand. He's ignoring me. Or, you know, he talks to so-and-so, doesn't talk to me. Right? That's just an opinion, and there's probably something bigger going on. But clear sin, we know what that is, right? The clear sin of adultery, of fornication, of drunkenness, lifestyle, of that kind of stuff the Bible tells us not to do. That's pretty clear. That, in the church, we should judge and we should pray for each other about it. Amen? That's important. You see, a lot of times we ignore these kind of things, but God is preparing us to be people of passion, compassion, and love, and caring for one another. So clear sinful actions can be judged in the church according to the scriptures as we read them. We may not judge in matters of opinion. You know, so-and-so looked at me the wrong way. You know, they need to apologize to me. For asking people to apologize to you because of what you think your opinion may... That's not... You know what that is? This is how I interpret this scripture. When you begin to attack or judge somebody for their actions towards you, and it's your opinion, and you don't really know what's down deep in your heart, when you judge them, you're actually judging their heart's intent. And you know that nobody knows the heart intent except God. You cannot see a heart intent. You may see an action that you don't like, but the heart, what's going on in their heart. Somebody may be having a bad day, and you don't know. Maybe they lost a loved one or something, and you're talking to them at work, and they're giving you attitude, and you judge that as this person is just not nice. You see, don't judge people's hearts. Love them. Be long-suffering. Amen? Be long-suffering. We may not judge in matters of opinion. For example, telling someone they have sinned against us because of the tone of their voice is not a clear sinful action. It's your opinion. Maybe a good opinion, but it's still not, you don't know their heart. In order to know that the tone of their voice was sin, you would have to judge someone's heart. And only God can see the heart and judge righteously. Sinful actions for people not in the church body, we are not to judge. You know, that was in the scripture where Paul says, those that are outside the church, we don't want to judge their sin. That's nothing to do with us. Here's what God tells us to do. Point people outside the church to Jesus. Amen? Don't judge all of their sins. What, they don't understand. It's like telling a one-year-old and judge them for their actions, for putting their finger in the socket and then spanking them. I mean, yes, you can spank them, but it's not going to be, it's because you want them to change the action, and it's not, you can't hold them accountable at some point. And that's the way it is. God is saying, don't judge them, just point them to Jesus, love them. Now, when they come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me, then they become part of the family. And then we help each other to live right and do right. To judge or not to judge. To summarize, for those that are not Christians, don't judge them. Just point them to Jesus. Amen? Just point them to Jesus. Just show them the love of Jesus. For Christians, we can judge clear sinful actions. However, we should not judge what is an opinion, because that would require we judge a person's heart. Only God knows what's in the heart. So do not judge someone's heart. So when we go back to the scripture, it says, judge not. Or at what level you judge somebody, God will judge you. And it does say, judge righteously. In order to judge somebody's heart righteously, the Bible doesn't say not to do it. But in order to do it, you want to make sure that you're judging somebody like God would judge them. Think about that. Because there's only one righteous. And that's God. So think about that burden. For if you really want to judge somebody's heart, judge it as God would judge it. Not you. Not your opinions. A pretty high bar, isn't it? Well, Paul judged the church, the fornication that was in the church. So why this topic today? As people come to the church, maybe non-Christians or people visiting or people getting closer to God, it's important that we don't look to judge people's heart. Their heart. Judge. Love people. Care for people. Be long-suffering with people. Be the fruits of the Spirit. But don't judge people's heart intent unless you're ready to judge them like God judged them. And what does the Bible say? You know, don't be trying to judge people when you got your own problems of sin, right? The log in your own eye, as the Bible put it. Remove that first, and then you can see as God sees. So, as Michelle comes forward and we close with a song, I wanted to just do a teaching today. A teaching specifically about how we look at people. How we should look at the positive in people and don't judge people's hearts. And if someone gives you a bad attitude, just love them anyway. Love them anyway. Or someone looks at you the wrong way one day at work, don't judge their heart. Just show them Jesus. Show them Jesus. You see, because as God starts putting people in our path in the community to help people to do more outreaches, we need to love people. We don't need to be going around judging people. Oh, so-and-so. Oh, yeah. God is ready to show the world love, to care. So as I started this service and I talked about how it's a personal relationship, you see, God, and we responded this morning to that personal relationship with God. God is working on you. He's perfecting you. But at the same time, He's getting you ready. This teaching about how to judge and not judge, it's important that we become like God, to see things like God, to judge like God righteously. And there's only one way that happens. The Spirit of God's got to be filling us and in us. His power has got to be in us. So let's just get ready to close in prayer, and as Michelle gets ready to close us in a song, but let me end with this thought. And today was specifically a teaching that you can hopefully write something down and check your heart. Check your heart. Do you judge people too quickly? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you long suffering, to give you that fruit. To be patient, to be kind. And I believe that God's preparing us for something and for you. Let me end with this thought. I believe that God is challenging us to look deep in our hearts and to be real, to be people of substance. People that are not afraid to set these things right according to God's word. God has a tremendous plan for you, for this church, for your family. And putting together God's putting together a food bank, a Colonia ministry, and wonderful people, as you saw in the video, and those of you that help with VBS, and all of the stuff, wonderful people that are willing to help for a bigger cause. You put all those things together, and the church willing to serve and go out in the hot sun and help kids or shoes and backpacks and put smile on children's faces, all of that is so positive and so God is ready to bring hope to the community. It's all God's putting all that together. So I challenge you this morning as you hear this teaching about judging people and maybe changing the way you look at people. I challenge you this morning to look honestly deep in your heart. And if you have a tendency to judge people without knowing their heart's motive, allow the Spirit of God to reveal that to you today. Allow God to reveal that to you today, because at the end of the day, I know that your passion is like the Olympian. You want to do whatever it takes to be right with God, to be close with God, to put Him first. So if that's you this morning, look down in your heart and let the Spirit of God reveal to you that you need to be long-suffering in your judgments. Because God is perfecting each and every one of us. So we can impact others for God's kingdom. See, even God talking to us today, teaching us today about judging and being compassionate and long-suffering in our judgments, all of that is about one thing. It's about preparing us to increase the kingdom of God. It's about that one person that sees that you're patient with them and that you didn't judge them and them coming to the Lord because of you. See, God's all about the kingdom. But He's working on us personally, on our relationship, to increase the kingdom. Do you love Him this morning? Are you willing to be vulnerable? Say, Lord, forgive me how I look at people. Help me to see people the way You see them, Lord. Help me to judge people the way You judge them. And you know how God sees them? He sees them as daughters and sons. As the prodigal son running home, He sees them like that. He sees them, someone He wants to hug, someone He wants to love. Lord, teach us to see people like You see them, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we pray, help us, Lord, to love people, to have compassion, to not judge before it's time. And Lord, that we may look at the best in people, to see what You see, Lord. Because You are preparing us to be hope to the world. Lord, teach us to be compassionate, to be long-suffering and merciful. And maybe some of us don't judge openly, but when we go home, we judge. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, reveal to us that what we do in secret matters too, Lord. Reveal to us, Lord, to be real. People of substance, not saying one thing in public and doing another in private. Lord, check our hearts. We open them up. We're vulnerable to You, Lord. Change us. Change us, oh Lord. You love people, Lord. You weep when people are going astray. Lord, help us to weep, to have the same compassion, the same eyes that You have, Lord. Let me see what You see, Lord. Let me hear what You hear, Lord. Let us as a church start seeing people, not to judge them, but to see them as the souls that You see. And we welcome everyone with open arms. In Jesus' name.